This is The Hollywood Outsider, a weekly movie and TV podcast with a new episode available each week at thehollywoodoutsider.com. We're also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or your podcast app of choice. My name is Aaron Peterson. I'm going to be your host for the special episode of The Hollywood Outsider. As the loyal listeners know, every once in a while we like to bring interviews with independent filmmakers to give you an insight into both what goes into getting their films made as well as insight into the respective film itself. This time, we are talking to producer Adam Saunders, who produced the new Netflix film Shimmer Lake, which arrives on Netflix June 9th. Now, Shimmer Lake is written and directed by Oren Uziel, and you will know his name because he is a big up-and-comer. He wrote 22 Jump Street. He wrote the upcoming Cloverfield movie. I believe he worked on an adaptation for Mortal Kombat. He's working on several things. And it has an all-star cast. It has Benjamin Walker, Wyatt Russell, Rainn Wilson, and a host of others. And basically what the film is it follows a bank robbery and what happens after the bank robbery, but it does it kind of Memento style in a way. It's telling the story in reverse. So we start on Friday, and the events unfold for that day, and then we go to Thursday and Wednesday, etc. So the story is told in reverse, but everything comes into focus the way it's told. It's actually really well executed. This is the kind of movie that hits my sweet spot. It has a nice mix of mystery. It has a nice mix of intrigue and foreboding atmosphere and tension. And it also has a lot of quirky humor in it, which is fantastic. I love when you can combine all of those elements and come up with something original. And that's what we have in Shimmer Lake. You can find out more about the film at Shimmer Lake Movie on Facebook and Shimmer Lake Film on Twitter. Now we're going to talk to Adam Saunders, who's the CEO of Footprint Features. They've made several movies, including the upcoming When We First Met with Adam Devine and Alexandra Daddario. They've got, obviously, Shimmer Lake. They did About Alex, which is a movie that came out a few years ago and had a really good performance from Aubrey Plaza. So I know some of you Legion fans might want to check that one out as well. So Adam stopped by, and he wanted to talk about the film and his career and what it's like to make a movie like this, what it's like to make a film that's basically being told backwards. It's a really insightful interview. It's a really interesting interview into the process, especially from the producer's standpoint, you know, what he does to help facilitate the end product and what he does behind the scenes. You know, a lot of people don't know exactly what producers do, and I think this is going to help enlighten some of you into that process. But we also talk about the movie quite a bit and the actors and everything else that revolves around Shimmer Lake, which once again is on Netflix June 9th. So be sure to check it out. It's a really good movie. I mean, like I said, it hits my sweet spot. So without further ado, let's get into the interview with the CEO of Footprint Features and the producer of Shimmer Lake, Adam Saunders.
Hey, hey. Aaron.
Yes, Adam. How's it going?
How are you?
I'm good. Or well.
I'm good, too.
So,
is it good or is it well? I'm good. I'm well. I think both work.
I always debate that when people get really mad if you say it wrong. But you went to Yale, so you tell me.
Yeah. I think both work. I can be good and I can be well. Yeah.
Well, before we get into Shimmer Lake, I always want to know, for you personally, what was the first time where you realized you wanted to do this? You wanted to get involved with filmmaking?
Well, you know, I started as an actor. So I was 7 years old when I first got involved in, I guess, could have been some version of show business. You know, so I was acting from when I was a kid, and then I went to grad school for acting. And I had done, you know, acted in TV shows and independent films and things like that. And we had run a theater company in college. And so it sort of all happened organically. And then we moved basically our theater company from college out to Los Angeles and ran a professional theater company called Footprint on the Sun, which meant accomplishing the impossible. And then in 2007, which is when we really were getting on our feet, the writers went on strike, and we thought, I'm going to be waiting tables till I'm 100 if I don't really create some real opportunities in the film business for myself. And so we started Footprint Features basically as the idea was to create opportunities for my friend from college to direct and for me to act in. And that was sort of the organic beginning of it all. And then now fast forward, you know, all these years later, and, you know, we're making a bunch of movies, but it really wasn't a time when I didn't want to be telling stories to some extent.
You talked about how you came out here to be an actor and then you ended up realizing that you needed to get more involved in producing the films. So how does that journey happen for you? How does it take you from I'm acting to I'm CEO of Footprint Features?
starting in 2007 is when Footprint Features began. Mm-hmm. And I had graduated from drama school, from acting school at Yale, and I'd come out here to act, and the writers went on strike, and I thought, you know, what I need to do is what I always had done, which is when I wasn't acting in something that I wanted to be acting in, I would create those projects. Mm-hmm. And in college, it created some plays that we could act in. And then out in LA, we had created professional plays that I could act in. And so then the idea was to create films that I could act in and my friend could direct. So the first movie we created was a film called Family Weekend, which starred Kristen Chenoweth and Matthew Modine. And in doing that film, which, you know, people saw and people responded to, it opened up a lot of other doors for us. And, you know, as my friend says, we sort of grew towards the light, and we just kept, you know, producing movies. We produced About Alex after that, which was a Jesse Zwick movie, which played at Tribeca. And then producing this movie called When We First Met, and then Shimmer Lake. And so now, you know, Shimmer Lake we made, and now When We First Met we've made, and now we're off to number five. So, yeah, it just sort of all happened organically.
So what brought you to Shimmer Lake? What was it about this story and Oren's vision that made it one you wanted to tell?
Well, you know, we were sent this script. WME sent us this script, and I remember reading it and thinking, wow, this is one of the best scripts I've ever read. It was, you know, it was just so smart. And every, you know, obviously, have you seen the film?
I have, yeah.
Okay, great. Okay. So, you know, going back in time, you know, as the story went along, I remember thinking as I was reading the script, I really enjoyed the beginning. And then as I'm reading the middle, I'm like, oh, wow, I'm really liking the middle. And then when I got to the end and I'd finished the script, I put the script down and I was like, it was one of the best scripts I've ever read. And I thought the ending was just insane. So, you know, I basically just kept hounding WME saying, you know, I got to make this movie. This will be my main focus. This will be Footprint's main focus. We'll get this movie made. And, you know, this script had been around for a few years. It had been a blacklist script back in, I think, 2009. Mm-hmm. And there had been a lot of big producers that had been attached from time to time. And Oren Starr had obviously risen to the point where he'd now made 22 Jump Street, and he was working on a Cloverfield movie with J.J. Abrams. And, you know, he was really is a big deal as a writer. And this was set to be his sort of directorial debut. And I said, you know, if you option it to us, no matter what, we will make this movie. Mm-hmm. And they took a chance on us. And within a year, we were shooting. So it all worked out.
For people that might not have seen it yet, because it's just hitting Netflix June 9th, the story is told very unconventionally. It's not told in a linear fashion. It's told in reverse order. So it's told from Friday to Tuesday. Is it more complicated or difficult to shoot a movie that is being told from the opposite narrative direction that we normally see?
I think, it's interesting because we had a lot of conversations early on as to whether we were going to shoot. You know, I always try, because I come from an acting background, I'm always trying to do everything I can to make it simple for the actors. You know, I want to shoot in chronological order if I can. Mm-hmm. And I want to, you know, create the conditions where they can do their best work. So there was a lot of conversation with Oren early on as to what would be the easiest for the actors. Is it easiest to do this in chronological order so they can experience exactly as their characters went through this? Or is it best to do it in story order so they can, the actors being aware that this is a movie, that they can make sure that they are, you know, going through it as the movie is going to unfold? And we went back and forth. And then, as always is the case, you know, in independent film, all of that went out the door as soon as we started shooting. And we were just basically block shooting locations. Okay, we're going to shoot all of Burton's house now. We're going to shoot all of the bank now, you know, because you just, for budgetary reasons, you just don't have that luxury. But I think the difficulty in this, which was to some extent alleviated by having the director, is just making sure that all the little specifics are, you know, when you're going back in time, are shot correctly. So there's not some, you know, anachronism or not something that, oh, wow, when we actually go back, that's in the wrong place, or this is supposed to be here, or when he walks out, you know, he was wearing this color tie, or, you know, whatever else. And obviously Oren and our script supervisor and all those people were on top of all those things. But I think that was really basically the main challenge, because you always shoot out of order.
When you're making a movie like this, a lot of people don't know, unless you're really in the business or you deal with it every day or you read about it every day, you don't really understand a producer's role. So can you tell people a little bit about what a producer does, like on Shimmer Lake, what your role was as a producer?
Sure. I would say when anyone asks me that question, I always say my answer is that the producer is the general manager of the football team. If the director is the head coach and the actors are the players, the producer is the GM. So basically our job is to oversee. I mean, we're the ones that hire the director, and then we work with the director to hire the cast, and then we work with the director to hire the crew, and we raise all of the financing or make sure that the financing is raised. And that part of our job gets a lot of airtime. People think largely that's what the producer does, but it's really only one section of what the producer does. And then we oversee the shoot and we oversee the edit. And then we have to negotiate and come up with a distribution deal to make sure the film gets sold and released. And then as much as the distributor is willing to let us be a part of it, we also oversee the marketing and the making sure that the marketing campaign is what we would want the film to be. So really from the script stage all the way to the release, we're overseeing that process in sort of a GM kind of way.
And you've got really like an all-star cast. You've got Benjamin Walker, Wyatt Russell, Rainn Wilson. You've got John Michael Higgins. Like this great cast. Is it something that the script just, they were happy to jump at it? Or was it something you had to navigate?
Jump at it. I wish it was that easy. But, you know, we had an amazing casting director. We had Mary Verneau, who, you know, in my opinion, is if not the best, certainly one of the very top casting directors in the world. And she very well may be the best. I mean, she's insanely great at her job. And she does, you know, all the Darren Aronofsky movies and David O. Russell movies and things like that. I mean, she's just fantastic. And she really helped us to find not only actors that were recognizable enough that the film could have a wide release, which is always something that a producer has to keep in mind, but also that were artistically right, that could tell a story which is a really large ensemble. And, you know, Oren was always of the mindset that, you know, it doesn't matter what their international sales value is. It doesn't matter, you know, what people, you know, who's going to watch it in the next country. Let's just make the story work. And that's his perspective. You know, my perspective is the first thing is the story has to work, but secondarily, we also have to make sure that people will come see this movie. So threading that needle is always a challenge of putting these things together, especially with an ensemble this size. And I think, you know, working hand-in-hand with Mary was critical. But yeah, we do have such a great cast, and I think top to bottom, they do such a great job.
I absolutely agree. What do you think was the biggest hurdle during production for you?
Well, I mean, we were in a bit of a time crunch because we originally were supposed to shoot this movie in Cleveland, and we, based on, you know, some budgetary restrictions and things like that, we decided at the last minute to move it to Toronto. And, you know, because shooting in Toronto allowed us, you know, to not only get tax credits, but also to get currency conversion of shooting in Canada. And the dollar was, you know, strong, a lot stronger than the Canadian dollar was at that time. But moving entire production, you know, both doing that, hiring our entire crew and then casting it up until the last minute. I mean, some of these actors weren't dropped in until the very last minute. And that was, I think, the challenge. But, you know, having done this process now a few times, I just kept reminding myself and reminding Oren, who was, this was his first time directing, that, you know, it will come together. Let's just stay calm. We just have to, you know, keep putting one foot in front of the other. But it always does seem to work out, and it did in this case, and I'm just super proud of the result.
Thanks for elaborating on that, because so many people ask about the process of making a movie. They don't understand how many hoops there are that you have to jump through as a producer, as a director, as artists, to get that film made. And speaking of getting that film made, once you get it made, you have to distribute it. You have to get that film out there. That's part of your job, like you said. So let's go into this deal with Netflix that you guys have. And how did that come about? How does that even work? Because Netflix is really changing how movies get made, how they're released. And they're trying to make a push for theatrical films on their platform. You know, you're one of the few films that they're distributing. How does that whole thing work? I mean, obviously, it shows the strength of the film because they agreed to distribute it through their platform. But does that give you a little bit more leniency? Does it give you a bit more creative freedom?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. So Netflix, they did an interesting thing on this movie, which is they bought the streaming rights while we were shooting. So we were sending them footage while we were shooting, and they purchased those streaming rights, and we maintained at that time all of the other rights. You know, we maintained whether it was the theatrical rights or the international rights or the airline rights or, you know, all the other various revenue streams, TV rights, you know, the other things that weren't being bought by that SVOD window, the subscription video on demand window. But then when we completed the film and we had basically totally finished it, we submitted it back to Netflix and a bunch of other distributors, And Netflix, in particular, was just, they just loved it. And so they said, you know, we've already made a certain offer. We're going to increase our offer, and we're going to brand it as a Netflix original and put it out in the world as a Netflix original and, you know, put the billboards up and do all the things that they do when it's a Netflix original. As a result of that, it's really fantastic because we're getting so much, you know, people are aware of this film and a lot of people are watching the trailer and are talking about it. And I think it was kind of a best case scenario because this movie, because of the sort of reverse order and the way it's told, I think is kind of perfect for Netflix because you can watch it and then say, oh, wait a second, I want to go back and watch that one part again. And you can just watch it again, you know. So I think it really worked out.
Did anybody ever try to talk Oren into doing it in sequence?
You know, I don't think we ever, you know, tried to talk about shooting it in sequence, but we did talk about unpacking it. I mean about, you know, actually making the movie in sequence, but we did talk about something, as I say, talk about shooting it in sequence. But, you know, I think one of the interesting things about this movie is, look, if you told it Tuesday to Friday or, you know, the in order, I think you would lose a lot because the what the reveal turns out to be, and I won't, you know, ruin it for those of you that are listening to this, but you know, what the reveal turns out to be really makes the journey worth it. And if you know all that information going in, there's really, I don't think there's much, nearly as much of a story. So it's almost like it's not a gimmick. It's almost as much as that device is the story, you know, or a huge part of it.
I mean, I think it's a really good film and it really holds up narratively, even rewatching it because I prepare for the interview. You want to take a better look at the film. It holds up. It definitely holds up. And the structure is not a gimmick. It definitely works as a narrative flow. And once you know the story and you're rewatching it, and you pick up on a few other things. And there's something cool about movies like that that we don't get very often. So I really appreciated that. And also, you have another movie coming out called When We First Met with Adam Devine and Alexander Daddario, which looks really good. As it revolves around what, you know, so many guys go through. They screw up on that first chance with a girl, and he gets to go back in time and redo it.
Yes.
That looks good.
Yeah, Adam Devine, When We First Met is, you know, it's funny because that movie was made possible, I think, to some extent by Shimmer Lake because we had such a good experience with Netflix on Shimmer Lake. They then purchased that movie When We First Met up front and made that as a Netflix original, so we made that as their partner. So, you know, I think because of the success of Shimmer Lake, it allowed for When We First Met to get made, which is a project that we'd, by the way, been working on for, I'd had that script long before I had Shimmer Lake. It's just funny how these things all sort of lead. As Steve Jobs says, everything makes sense looking backward, you know.
Absolutely. One thing I wanted to know from you is, where do you see Footprint going next?
Well, so Footprint, you know, what we do is these character-driven movies that are accessible to a mainstream, and, you know, we're continuing to grow, and we've got a movie that we've got coming up after this called 1,000 Miles to Freedom, which is a true story of a woman who in 1860 was three-quarters white, one-quarter black, and she was a slave, but she looked white. And so what she did to escape to freedom was she dressed up as a white man, and her husband, who was also a slave, acted as her slave. And they escaped through steamships and carriages and, you know, old taxis from Macon, Georgia, all the way to Boston. And it's a really fantastic script that we're putting together. That's coming up next. So we're doing that with Good Universe.
That sounds like an amazing story.
And, you know, we're just continuing to, we're in the process of, we're getting very close to finishing our film fund, which will give us the ability to make 14 films over 5 years. And, you know, we just want to continue to make these character-driven movies and bring them to mainstream audiences, which it feels like, you know, we're getting more and more traction every day.
Well, I just want to thank you for making something. I haven't had a good murder mystery in a while, so that's much appreciated. I love these kinds of movies.
I'm so glad you liked it, and I hope all your listeners will like it as much as you do.
Oh, they will. So thank you so much for stopping by. I don't want to take up too much of your time. I know you have other appointments, so thanks so much for coming by.
Of course, no problem.
There you go. That was my interview with the producer of Shimmer Lake, Adam Saunders. He's got a lot of other cool projects coming up, so be sure to keep an eye on Footprint Features and what they bring out. This is a really, really good film. So be sure to check out Shimmer Lake when it hits Netflix June 9th. You might be listening to this. It's already on Netflix. It's a Netflix original, so it is on the platform. If you have a Netflix subscription, it's already there. If you don't have one, get one and then watch Shimmer Lake. And I hope you guys definitely check it out. I hope you enjoyed the interview, and I hope you learned a little bit about the movie and a little bit about the process, which is what we always want to try and bring you here at The Hollywood Outsider. Once again, thank you for listening to The Hollywood Outsider podcast. We try to bring you interviews with filmmakers in the world of independent cinema when we can, so I really hope you enjoyed this one. Remember to subscribe and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcast app of choice. Our normal show has a new episode every single week and is available at TheHollywoodOutsider.com. This is Aaron Peterson reminding you that the next time you head into the theater or sit on your couch comfortably and watch Schindler's List on Netflix, buy popcorn.